The Holy Gospel today is taken from the second chapter of John. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine, they did not know where it came from, though the stewards who had drawn the water knew. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have been drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You can go ahead and be seated now. Don't see any kids here, so I won't talk to any kids right now. But I do have a joke to start off with. And this is authorized by Pastor Beth, and I have to make a disclaimer that I don't advocate cruelty to animals. So here's the joke. I mean, that's true, I don't, and here is the joke. So Grandpa asked Dave at his engagement party, "Your marriage to Grandma is legendary. Everyone talks about how the two of you get along so well and never fight. What's the secret to your marital success?" "Well," said Grandpa Joe after taking a deep puff on his cigar, "it all started on the way home from our wedding. We hadn't gone but a mile when the horse started giving us trouble. I gave the horse a little whip, and that's when I heard your grandma say in a low voice, 'That's strike one.' A bit later, the horse stopped again. 'That's strike two,' she said. The third time it stopped, she grabbed my shotgun out of my holster and shot it in the head. I was in shock. 'What in the world is that all about?' I had protested at the time. 'That's strike one,' she said back to me. And that is how I owe our marital success to." That is how I, what we, well, anyway, that was, I tried. Yeah, it was lame. It was weak. What's that? It is the bottom of the barrel. That I did scrape the very bottom. So I wanted to talk about miracles. And when the kids were here in the first service, I asked them if they knew what a miracle was. And so I'll ask you all, do you know what a miracle is? What's a miracle? What might a miracle be? Have you experienced a miracle? Now, I told the story of losing something, and that's frequently when I told the story about losing a watch at summer camp, someone came up with a miracle story about losing a diamond. They were in the military and they had moved to a place, and she was unpacking everything and, you know, box upon box, and put all the paper back in the boxes, and several days later she was changing her child's diaper, and she noticed that her diamond ring, the diamond was gone. And it's like, where could that? She looked and looked and looked and looked. And then the last place she thought of was, because she had done a lot of vacuuming, she, you know, looked in the vacuum cleaner, and there was the diamond. So that's a pretty good miracle, you know, to find a little stone from the dust of the house. And so that suggests to me that part of what makes a miracle is small, simple things lead to a bigger mystery. So in this particular story, in the story with Jesus and the wine, you have just regular old water, water that is a regular old thing. And he makes this water, and he listens to his mother, first of all. His mother's very influential in the Gospel of John. Even though he says, what's it to me? She says, you know, the next line is, she says, do what he says. So, you know, she's not dissuaded by whatever her son says. She's, you know, needs this thing, this miracle. And he makes this abundant amount of wine. Hundreds of gallons. Now, they celebrated a wedding for a week, usually, back in Jesus' day. So, you know, maybe hundreds of gallons might have been enough then. But the idea is from nothing to abundance. So when you think of miracles, you have small things that turn into something of a mystery of who God is and what God does for us. And it's frequently abundance, abundance. One lost story I have... I tend to lose a lot of things, apparently, but I had an issue for several years. Beth and I, being married, she knows this, that I would lose my wallet. And there was one time I'd gone and gotten some gas and, you know, did the transaction and did the thing. And then I drove off and I drove home, and it's like, oh, I don't know where my wallet is. It's not here. It's not in the car. I look all over. I go back to the gas station. Did anyone turn it in? And then when I walk back out of the car, there on the bumper of our car is my wallet. Still there. After I'd gone all the way home, and this was in Seattle, and all the way back, quite a miracle. Simple things, abundance. I think miracles are reminders for us who believe. That's kind of what the gospel says today. The disciples saw the glory of Jesus. They saw the real stuff of what God is. God of abundance and grace and glory. That's what that word means. When you think of glory, joy, the bigness of God in a little thing like water, turning into abundance of wine. Then I think of this place, our church here, St. Mark. St. Mark was started in 1958. Now, in the first service, we had a person who joined in 59. Who's the earliest who's joined in this service here? Jim, how long have you been here? Since when?
70.
70? Oh, you got to have someone before 70. Is that the earliest we got? Well, since 1970. You've been here since 1970. You've seen this building was built in 65, which is my year. That's a good year to build things. I was built in 65. So 50 years later, this church stands here. I stand here. And that's what I think is the beauty of miracles, is their stories. They're storied things. And so I believe this is a miraculous place, because it still stands 50 years later. And it stands with us here gathered today. Now, you didn't know 50 years ago or 40 years ago or 30 years ago or maybe even 20 years ago that you're going to be here this day with me. And we're talking about the miracle of this place. Why I think it's a miracle is because, well... in 1958 and even in 1970, I don't think we talked about homeless folks, homeless children. That was not a thing. In the 80s, folks started to talk more about that because it became a systemic problem in our country, a country of great abundance, homelessness. Well, what I have in my hand, I would argue, is like water turning into wine. This is the beginning of a miracle that St. Mark has produced. Here are carpet remnants that I've cut out, and the sideboard too, just to show that I'm doing a little work. In room number 6, I don't really know what the number is, but it's in our education wing. And that room is going to be the place where our Clean Kids program is going to start. And I've talked about Clean Kids before. We've talked about it as a church. Clean Kids will provide laundry facilities, 3 washers, 3 dryers, so that any kid who's homeless in our school district, of the 700 this year who are homeless, will be able to have access to that through the help of our homeless liaison in the school district. She'll help determine who needs to get the service done here, and we will provide that service. We will wash the clothes or have them wash their own clothes, and they can be clean. Clean Kids in schools. It turns out this being clean is the second greatest need, other than having housing, that a kid needs to succeed in school. When kids don't have clean clothes, they're not themselves. They feel horrible. They feel dirty. They feel less than. When you have clean clothes, you can be normal, fit in, do your schoolwork, have success. So this is, for me, an awesome miracle and a great story of what St. Mark is capable of. So the question is, I pulled up the carpet because we're putting some tile down for better traffic purposes and for if by chance the water comes over. Yeah, this is the start. This is the real. We're starting for sure now. You know, before we've talked about it, now it's happening. Now it's happening for real. And that's a perfectly good thing. I mean, this is no different than a big vat of water. This is no different than my wallet or a little stone that happens to be a diamond. This is a carpet remnant of what's next for here. So the question is, what is next beyond this? What are the miracles that maybe you and I can give to the world? Now, the reason why I say that, and here's where all the story piece comes in. So I'm researching about today's lessons, and here's what David Lowe says. Now, he's a Lutheran preaching professor, and this is what he says. He says, "All of which makes me wonder, dear partner, preaching partner, if this week we couldn't take an inventory of our congregation and see how we might surprise those around us with an abundance of blessing. What is it, in other words, that you have a ton of and other people need? Is it smiles?" And I was thinking about that, like going to Safeway and just smiling at the person who runs through your stuff or what at Freddy's, wherever you go to, and just actually say, "Hello, how's it going?" And just make their day. Wouldn't that be great? They might think that's a real miracle that someone actually, you know, is smiling and, you know, that should be on sale. You know, why not smile instead? You know? Could you send your folks out with a smile to every person they see, whether familiar or not? In a world where suspicion is on the rise, that would be powerful. What about hugs or hospitality? Could everyone in the congregation be sent out to invite one person to lunch or to their home just to be hospitable? Or what about space? Do you have Sunday school rooms that are empty 6 days a week? Well, we're already addressing that. See, we're ahead on that one. We're kind of answering that one. So, yeah. And then there's this thing called family promise. Now, here's where a miracle may be taking place. I don't know. This is the weird one for me. So family promise is a group that started in 1993, because I had heard about this just several weeks ago. I bought a book called Just Preaching. And the just means like justice, just preaching. And this whole book, the sales were to benefit Family Promise 20 years ago. So it's a group that started on the East Coast, and slowly affiliates around the country have joined them. There are currently no affiliates in our area. And so what I'm wondering, if God is giving us, me, a holy suggestion to start thinking about Family Promise to help the 2.5 million children and their parents who will face homelessness this year. Maybe our job is to build the laundry facility and to be a greater advocate for our community. And the final piece of how this could be another little miracle happening here is on Thursday, Amy Brackenberry, who's a lobbyist by trade, she's been helping me to track all of the things that are going on in our political system in Washington State related to homeless children, especially unaccompanied homeless youth, those who don't have parents, those who have no support but are still in school. And there's like three different bills and acts to help kids that are on the book. So I'm going to go on Thursday. She's going to help me. And I'm going to go testify and say, hey, we got this little church here, St. Mark, who is doing a miraculous thing and wants to continue to do that. How can you make these laws happen and fund them so that we can be a miracle to the unaccompanied youth and the 700 kids that are homeless in our place, in our community right now? Because we are ready to be the miracle, so help us do that. That's what this sign was for Jesus in the start of the Gospel of John, his first sign, abundant, changing a simple thing to show God's grace and mercy. And that carries over to us. It's a reminder for us. We can be that same miracle in the community. What will it be? It's as simple as a hug at Safeway. That's how it begins. Amen.